Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better, and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now, I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I'm married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell. So you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself?
Oh, yes. And hey, I'm Carol Jurgensen Sheets, a.k.a. Carol the Coach, and this is the Sex Help with Carol the Coach show. And I am so pleased to be with you tonight. You know, this is the way to start out your week. Every Monday night, we expect you to be here for the show, the only show on iTunes and through the world that talks about specifically sexual addiction. And you know, there's been a lot of controversy about sexual addiction. And that controversy is understandable. You know, back in the 1930s and 40s, people didn't believe that you could actually be addicted to alcohol. And they thought it was some sort of moral inadequacy in a person. They didn't understand the way chemicals affect the brain. And so tonight I thought I'd talk a little bit about what is addiction, to give you some understanding on what it is and how to combat it. And then we are going to be talking with Carver Brown. He actually works out of the Forest General Hospital, and that's Pine Groves. I mean, this is one of the best residential treatment centers in the United States. And he actually advocates a back-to-basics program. And he highly recommends the book Back to Basics by Wally P. It's available on Amazon, and he's going to be talking about what is back to basics and, you know, who needs it and what's so special about it. It really has some different criteria from 12-step programs. So I can't wait to interview him about this program. I mean, it has been very, very successful for over 80 years. So I am looking forward to finding out more about that. And you know that this is the show whereby you learn about addiction. This is the show where you can get any information you need. So I always encourage you to tune me in. And if you're busy on Monday nights, you can go to either Blog Talk Radio and download my show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/sexhelpwithcarolthecoach. And get all of the shows I've done. I have descriptions about each and every one, so you can download the ones that you think are pertinent to you, or just download every single show. We've got over 80 shows right now. Or you can go to iTunes, Google Carol the Coach, whereby you'll get all of the Sex Help with Carol the Coach shows. subscription is free. All you have to do is download them. And or, you know, I also have a Carol the Coach program called Live Your Best Life, and that is the skills that you need to be working on while you're working on 12-step/sexual addiction/sexual recovery skills. So I got to tell you, I got the most interesting article on understanding addiction. It's through the Harvard Health publication, Harvard Medical School. And it says, how does addiction hijack the brain? Now, interestingly enough, the word addiction is derived from a Latin term for enslaved by or bound to. And now, anyone who's struggled to overcome an addiction or who's tried to help someone else do so understands that it's like the person has been hijacked. Well, in actuality, the brain has been hijacked. You know, addiction exerts a long and powerful influence on the brain that manifests in three distinct ways. So be thinking about, does sexual addiction affect you? In other words, do you crave the object of addiction? Maybe that's porn. Maybe that's voyeurism. Maybe that's exhibitionism. Maybe it's frauderism. Do you feel like you have some sort of loss of control over its use? And do you continue to participate in those behaviors despite adverse consequences? Well, for many years, experts have believed that only alcohol and powerful drugs could cause that type of addiction, which really has to do with neural pathways in the brain. But now, neuroimaging technologies and more recent research has shown that certain pleasurable activities, such as gambling, shopping, eating, spending money, and sex can also co-opt the brain. And although the standard diagnostics and statistical manual of mental disorders describes multiple addictions, it has not been able to include sexual addiction in it this time around. But we know that that is in the works the next time the book comes out. We'll have so much more research to show that sex addiction is emerging as an underlying brain process disorder. Now, you know, nobody starts out intending to develop an addiction, but many people get caught up. The latest government statistics say that nearly 23 million Americans, almost 1 in 10, are addicted to alcohol or other drugs. More than two-thirds of people with addiction abuse alcohol, and the top three drugs causing addiction are marijuana, narcotic pain relievers called opioids, and cocaine. And as I indicated before, in the 1930s, when researchers first began to investigate what caused addictive behavior, they believed that people who developed addictions were somehow morally flawed or lacking in willpower. Well, we have come a long way since then. And overcoming addiction used to be seen as needing to have the will to break a strong habit. And yet now the scientific consensus has changed since then. Addiction is seen now as a chronic disease. It changes both the brain structure and function. And just in the same way as cardiovascular disease damages the heart and diabetes damages the pancreas, we're finding out that sexual addiction, as well as all other types of addiction, hijacks the brain. You see, the brain goes through a series of changes, beginning with the recognition of pleasure and ending with a drive toward compulsive behavior. There is this thing called the pleasure principle, and you've heard me talk about it over and over and over again on this show. The reward center in the brain gets stimulated. And when that occurs, certain neural pathways become effective. affected. And then it's as if this compulsion occurs. You know, in the brain, pleasure has a distinct signature, the release of the neurotransmitter dopamine. And that occurs in the nucleus accumbens. And a cluster of nerve cells lying underneath the cerebral cortex also occur. And then dopamine release in the nucleus is so consistently tied with pleasure that neuroscientists refer to the region as the brain's pleasure center. Okay, so that's what they're really looking at the current time, this brain's reward center. I call it the pleasure and reward center. And so addictive drugs provide a shortcut to the brain's reward system by flooding the nucleus accumbens with dopamine. And the hippocampus lays down memories of this rapid sense of satisfaction, and the amygdala creates a conditioned response to certain stimuli. Okay, that is a lot of medical terminology and anatomical terminology that really says that people who have an addiction use more of the substance or engage in the behavior more often than they did in the past, that they have withdrawal symptoms when they don't have the substance or engage in the behavior, and that they will do whatever it takes to continue use, whether that means lying to their partners, lying to their work. So people that have these issues end up creating a variety of shame responses because they know that their personality is changing the more that they use. And boy, as their brain changes and their sense of self changes, the development of tolerance occurs. Over time, the brain adapts in a way that actually makes the sought-after substance or activity less pleasurable. You've heard it before. When people do cocaine, they're looking for that first high again. And in nature, rewards usually come only with time and effort. Addictive drugs and behaviors provide a shortcut, flooding the brain with dopamine and other neurotransmitters. So, what we need to understand is that you are not in any way morally irreprehensible. You are dealing with a brain dysfunction. If you've been using something and you can't stop, if you believe it is taking control over you, if it is affecting your environment, your relationships, and your sense of self, you have an addiction. And in the 1980s, when we taught kids to just say no to drugs, that wasn't enough. As a matter of fact, that made people feel worse because they couldn't just say no to drugs because their reward center was looking for ways to light up again, to experience those neurotransmitters, to experience that dopamine again. And the compulsion had taken over. So, if you've got these cravings, know that they contribute not only to addiction, but to relapse after you have stopped, whether that be in short-term or hard-won sobriety. A person who's addicted to heroin, to sex, to gaming, to gambling, may be in danger of relapse when he sees something or she sees something that triggers that reward center, a hypodermic needle. They may hear the clanging of ice in a glass. They may see a woman with a low-cut shirt. They may hear the sound of their computer starting. All of these kinesthetic, auditory, visual cues start to condition the brain to look for that reward center response. So you need to get yourself to a certified sexual addictions therapist. And how can you do that? Well, you can go to sexhealth.com, put in your zip code, your state, your country, because sexhelp.com helps people globally, all over the world, and see who is closest to you that actually has the expertise to help you with this condition. And oftentimes we as therapists know that you may need some intensive help. That's when we recommend residential treatment, Pine Grove, the Ranch, Cumberland Heights, the Meadows, those kind of facilities that take you out of your own environment, intensively work with you, work with your family, and set you up with recovery programs. So tonight, we're going to be talking about an unusual recovery program that you may never have heard about before, Back to Basics. And we are going to be working with Carver Brown, who runs this program and who can give us more information about it. So, Carver, welcome to the Sex Help with Carol the Coach show. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Carol. How are you?
Well, I also am doing great. You know, had a full day of work and ended with my sex addictions group. So I'm always pumped to take it to the next level, and that is learning from experts like you. So tell me a little bit about Back to Basics, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners have never heard of that program.
Well, you know, I hadn't heard of it either. And you know, I've been in recovery and working in the field for a while, and I was kind of stunned to hear about this thing. But Back to Basics is a reenactment of an AA 1940s beginner meeting where back in the 1940s, I did not know this, that AA groups would take newcomers through the steps in 4 one-hour sessions. Generally, it was held over the course of 4 weeks. And in those 4 one-hour sessions, they were assigned a sponsor, and they were taken through the steps. And all Back to Basics is all of that combined into one day, a day-long, four-hour workshop that usually has a lunch break in the middle.
Well, my goodness. You know, I'm always telling my clients who have been working on the 12 steps for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and maybe they're on their fifth step, we need to be speeding this thing up. You should be flying through those steps initially to get a full-blown idea of the program. Then you can go back and work it with more intention later on. So it kind of sounds like this Back to Basics program is a way to do that. It's an intensive, if you will.
It really is. It's experiential learning. It is an intensive. And, Carol, it's exactly what you say. You know, in my experience, my 12-step experience, I would hear and see people, just as you're describing, they would say, you know, wait, you know, slow down, you're not ready. And that is nowhere in any recovery literature. The big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, as an example, what it says is next, at once, and we waste no time. And a principle of the 40s is, just as you said, Carol, we take the steps quickly and often.
Okay, now why do you think that people may feel hesitant to go at this speed and rate?
You know, I think that the experiences that we have in recovery, we tend to duplicate those. You know, the experience that I had with my sponsor taking me through the steps and the fact that I got sober, well, I tend to duplicate that experience. So if somebody was taken through the steps slowly, methodically, and yet they were able to maintain sobriety, continuous sobriety, I think it's just kind of natural human tendency to duplicate that experience with the next guy. But clearly, this is not the way that recovery was born in the 1930s and 40s, that they, you know, Dr. Bob, one of AA's co-founders, you know, he took, in his lifetime, it's documented in the archives, he took 5,000 men and women through the steps. Now, Dr. Bob only lived 15 years after he got sober, and he died of emphysema. But if you do the math on that, you know, what is that, taking like 0.75 people through the steps every day without taking Christmas off. You know, he did that by taking people who were detoxing in St. Thomas Hospital through the steps during the detox period. And detox in the 1940s was about a three-day experience. So he was taking them through the steps in days, not weeks or months or years, certainly.
Okay, so then how does somebody obtain information as to how to do this program?
Well, I tell you, it was discovered by my friend Wally Patton, and Wally lives in Tucson, Arizona. He's the AA archivist that discovered this lost material, the formats for the beginners meeting, and he put it in a book called Back to Basics, and it's available on Wally's website or on Amazon. And this is really a good place to begin, because the book takes you through all four of those sessions, and it breaks it down, and it's done in a way for a person one-on-one to go through the steps with one other. Also, though, Wally has put this in a PowerPoint presentation that's available to anybody, and you can order that directly from his website. That's what I did, and that's how I got started in it.
Okay, so again, you had heard of Wally or you met Wally, and you specifically found out about this and thought you would try it. Is that correct?
Carol, it's a great story. You know, when I got the job as the alumni coordinator at Pine Grove, you know, many of us that take on that role, you know, they hired me, and I was like, you know, I'll take it. How do you do that? What do you do? And they flew me out to the Betty Ford Center to just kind of see their alumni program. And when I was out there, I was asking them, what do you do to keep the alumni engaged with the patients? And they said, oh, well, there's this new thing called Back to Basics where we take all the 12 steps in one day. And I just stopped. I said, wait a minute, you can't take the steps in a day. You know, I agonized over my inventory for a week. You know, how do you do all that in a day? And they said, oh, no, it's very simple. There's this guy, Wally. But I don't know, you ever had an experience, Carol, when you just hear something and your insides light up and you just know that I found a piece of gold? You know, I just need to know more.
Absolutely.
Well, and that's exactly what happened. I came back to Mississippi, and I got on the Internet, and I found Wally's website, and lo and behold, he was going to be in Austin, Texas, presenting a Back to Basics workshop. I grabbed my sponsor. We jumped in the car and drove from Mississippi to Austin, Texas, just so that we could take this workshop. And sitting in there and experiencing this, I knew I had to bring it back to Mississippi, bring it back to Pine Grove. And, of course, it's morphed into something that now I've had the privilege to share it, you know, all over the country, really. I've been almost coast to coast with it doing presentations.
So then somebody who might be interested in doing this with somebody else, they can just go to Wally's website and get the information. And is there a cost for this thing? Cost for the program?
Well,
cost materials?
Yeah. Right. Well, the book, I mean, to get the book, I think it's like $14. As I say, it's available on Amazon, the book Back to Basics by Wally P. It's as it's listed, but it's actually Wally Patton, P-A-T-O-N. Or go into Wally's website, you can get the book or the PowerPoint presentation. And literally with that, you are a traveling 12-step roadshow. You have everything you need to take one person or a group of people all the way through the 12 steps. And it's so logically presented. It's amazing. It's just very simple and easy.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, you're saying that if you go to Wally's website, which is www.aabacktobasics.org, it will give you the structure you need by buying the book and figuring out how to do this in 4 hours, or, as you indicated earlier, some people have done it in 4 weeks, 1 hour per week. But this is about Alcoholics Anonymous. How might this apply to Sex Addicts Anonymous?
That's a great question, Carol, because I wondered the same thing. But, you know, as you know, that the steps are the same steps. You know, they're just really the first step is the one that's modified to accommodate whether it would be sex addiction or drug addiction, any process or chemical, whatever it be. And so the same principle, these same steps are applied to any of the over 200 anonymous fellowships. So I brought it back to Pine Grove and immediately shared it with our gratitude, with the sex addiction program we call Gratitude. And I found that it's absolutely translatable because the solution is the same solution in the 12-step world. Whether the problem is chemical or process, it's the same.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, people really struggle, especially with sexual addiction. They struggle with the steps, and, you know, they want to get them right. And after they go through the first three, you know, they start looking at their character defects, and they start looking at people that they've hurt. And you're saying that you can go through this very quickly, make those lists quickly, and start doing the work, kind of doing the act as if you're flying through it to get it done, and you can come back again and perhaps do it again?
Absolutely. You know, the steps can be done. We take them through very quickly in this wonderful overview and give them a chance to do a quick inventory and to identify their character defects, make a list of the amends that they're ready to do, and even give them the format for how to go about making the amends, breaking it down into the four different categories of what type of amend. And so by doing this in this short session, as you say, Carol, now you're able to go back. And as we do in SAA, now you can go back and do a thorough written first step and present it to the group, you know, and go back and work each step in more detail. But the chances of successful long-term recovery, I believe, increase exponentially by getting this overview of the steps and knocking them all out at one time and getting it past you, then going back and working the program in more detail.
Well, that certainly makes a lot of sense to me. Now, again, I asked you about cost, and it was almost as if you indicated the only cost to this is the cost to buy the book so that you have the structure.
It really is. And if you wanted to get the PowerPoint presentation and what Wally calls this leader guide, which you could get from his website, I believe that one cost me about $70, and that had handouts in it that I made copies of, and then the CD with the PowerPoint was all loaded, all was included in this. And once I had made that investment, I was ready to go. The softback book I mentioned, you know, that's basically for somebody to sit with one person and go through the steps one-on-one. And I encourage anybody to get a copy of that. It's got a little bit of the history of recovery, and then it then goes straight on into taking the steps the original way as was done back in the 1940s.
Wow, this I think would be an amazing experience for most of the people that are working the 12 steps anyway. So if you got somebody, a sex addict person who is now in the process, maybe they're in the fourth step, maybe they're in the sixth step, can they start over and start using this specialized Back to Basics program?
Absolutely. You know, wherever you are, and I'll tell you, I would offer this, that if somebody is somewhere in those mid-steps and they may be stuck, by starting back over at the pace of this, I think it had the potential to get them unstuck. You know, sometimes, as you know, Carol, we tend to overthink. We tend to get into a place and our perfectionism kicks in. I want to do a perfect inventory, or I want to do a perfect sixth step, and I don't want to miss a thing. And you know, that's just one more of my character defects surfacing right there. You know, I need to just relax and take it easy. And it was a gift I had. My sponsor you know, was just an old school New York AA guy, and he took me through really quickly. And we decided that he had never heard of Back to Basics, but he was just missing what was done to him. But I believed, going back to your question, that I believe that in somebody taking this approach, especially if they're stuck, I believe this is going to be a brilliant method to get them unstuck and then move beyond.
Well, share a little bit about what you do at Pine Grove, because obviously you said you're part of the alumni program, and that program in and of itself, that's called the Gratitudes Program?
Well, Gratitude is the sex addiction part of Pine Grove. You know, there's a men's program for chemical addiction. There's a women's program called the Women's Center, and it's for chemical addiction and eating disorder. Of course, then we have a program called Legacy for 60 and older, because we found that for that age group to be in a setting just for them, that they tend to respond better. That's chemical addiction. Then there's a professionals program that is, it's a behavioral, it's not an addiction, but it is for behavioral issues, primarily for professionals. It's called the PEP program, for issues like disruptive doctors or behavioral issues that come in the workplace. But what's happened with this, of course, they hired me to be the alumni coordinator, so I have taken all of these. It's kind of like being the alumni coordinator for five different treatment centers. So I put this all together into a package where we do this process where we invite the graduates to return back to campus to share with the patients, and we call that the Days of Hope. So we're trying to create a circle of healing where graduates go leave and then come back, and they actually go back into treatment for 2 days at a time. Coming to Pine Grove, essentially by doing this and being a part of our alumni program, you have access to 5 opportunities a year for 2 days of free treatment for the rest of your life.
Wow. Will you repeat that one more time? Because that seems to be a special gift, the Pine Grove recommends and allows, that maybe is a little bit different than other treatment centers.
Well, maybe just a little bit. I tell you, you know, any sort of alumni program, you want to develop an aura of service. You know, you'd like to allow the patients to practice some of their 12-step stuff. And so the way we did that was we just started very slowly, but it's grown into this program called the Days of Hope. And the Days of Hope, we try to make this a part of everybody's treatment experience so that when someone's in treatment, they see a team of alumni coming in to go back into the program to share about what life is like for them post-treatment. And then the realities of it, whether they're struggling or whether they're just doing extraordinarily well in their program, it doesn't matter. We want the patients to have the experience to be next to some alumni who are coming back to share about the realities of life post-treatment. And we believe that it creates this circle of healing where, of course, you can imagine that the people who return get this wonderful sense of gratitude, you know, for where they've been in their life. Even if they're struggling, get a chance to rejuvenate their work and to have a session with their therapist and to see the treatment team. Patients get so much out of that, to see these people who've come back that are giving back, and it just changes their outlook. You know, anybody that's going on a journey wants to have a North Star to guide by, wants to have a map, and that's what we believe the returning alumni provide for them.
Well, that is excellent. And, you know, so many addicts in general carry around that baggage of shame. And 12-step work, especially that 12th step, really helps to reduce that or to change and alter that. Can I ask you a personal question? Because you've been recovered how long?
You know, I tell you, I'm coming up on 10 years. It was June the 14th of 2004, and I'm just immensely grateful. I was in international sales and marketing with a French company, traveling all over, and I was deeply addicted in sex addiction and chemical addiction, and I even was suffering with an eating disorder. And it was just when I finally hit that place of surrender and had my own treatment experience, You know, I just, the recovery process worked, and God got me sober, and my whole life transformed. I ended up leaving that world of business and turning my skills toward, well, much like you are, helping other people. I just got this heart for helping others, and I was blessed that Pine Grove gave me the opportunity to put together this alumni program, and it literally is the greatest show on earth. I get to see lives transformed. I get to see people come back. Of course, there's the hard cases too, you know, those that don't, you know, pan out so well. Of course, it's the real deal. But I tell you, I'm so grateful to have this life, and it's been a miracle in a relatively short amount of time.
Yeah, you know, I have a client who's a physician, and he's not able at this point to practice medicine. And he still continues to struggle with his recovery, and he's fairly new into the program. And he does that dance of wondering, knowing that he's got to have some real recovery to feel good about himself and to ethically be ready to serve people. And yet we've had other addicts say to him, start doing for others now, and that will help your actual recovery. Now, that doesn't mean be a physician, but it does mean God uses us in all sorts of ways to help other addicts. And this man, as you can imagine, is so bright and has the gift of gab. He knows how to speak to people. And so we're looking for ways for him to make a difference. I understand.
Yeah.
Your situation with your work really contributed before you left the field when you were doing the international sales. It really contributed to the problem. It gave you lots of opportunities to act out.
It absolutely did. I mean, and I was in the hospitality industry, and so, oh my goodness, it was the fertile ground of addiction, and so you're right. I mean, I did a lot of damage to myself, to my family, and others, and it's interesting that you describe this fella. It's because one of the things that struck me was I was about a year sober, and I got to this place where I was stark raving sober. I mean, here I was, I was faced with this career change, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And literally, Carol, I started the steps over, and I said, you know, I'm going back to the beginning. And I was back on my knees saying, you know, I don't know what to do now. You know, I'm a year sober. I've given out my phone number to several hundred people and two called back, you know, and I'm going to a lot of meetings, and I'm working with my sponsor. And then a miracle happened, and I got the notion and guidance from a friend that said, why don't you join me at a men's transitional housing facility, and let's go down there and start a meeting in this place. And that was the beginning. When I became a volunteer at this men's place, which was the last stop before prison or death for many of these guys, really a low-bottom experience, when I started becoming a volunteer there and taking simple recovery there, well, then it led me into sponsorship. We started having cookouts. We started having fun with the men, and it changed everything. And it became just this wonderful experience, and little by slowly led me then into this opportunity of being able to be an alumni coordinator.
Well, and that is how the program works, doesn't it? The miracles happen when you work it.
Yeah, but only when you get to that point of surrender. You know, when you just finally just give up trying your own plans. I had to forego my plan, and I had to be led. I had to say, I'll go. Where should I go? And then through this trusted, wonderful friend came to me and said, why don't you come down and share your story? And that led to us starting the meeting, and then a miracle happened. You know, I finally learned how to let go of that long exhale, that breath I had been holding, struggling, trying to stay sober, and I finally learned how to relax in recovery and enjoy the journey without trying to force outcomes.
Well, that totally makes sense. And let me ask you, you know, you said it was the surrender process that helped you get there. And you did a little bit of describing what surrendering is, but so many of the addicts I work with, they're afraid to let go. It's almost as if they're fearful that if they let go, their life will be even more out of control than it is while they think they have some sense of control. So describe again your definition of surrendering.
Well, Carol, you talk about it. You set it up beautifully. I mean, you know, when you get to this point, you have to first examine that first step. You got to first look at what has gotten me to this place. And I got to be thoroughly convinced that the plans that I'm on are just not working out for me, leading me into a residential mental health hospital. You know, here I am, and I'm this high-level executive, and, you know, and I got to admit, you know, this was a bad plan. You know, whatever my plan was, it was not effective. Because here I am.
It was not working for you.
It was not working. And then I had to examine through the steps. I had to examine the unmanageability of my life, you see. And that would then be, you know, where am I in my relationships? Where am I with my fear? Where am I? All of these things. And by doing all this inventory, this quarter pre-fourth step stuff, you know, all of this first step inventory stuff, you know, I led to a place where what I am doing is just not working. And I had to come to that. There's something called the second surrender. And it's not talked about that much anymore, but I heard about it in the beginning when I first was getting sober, and I don't hear it talked about that much. And Wally Patton, my friend that wrote Back to Basics, talks about it, is the first thing you hit is this surrender of, well, I can no longer act out, you know, this first and foremost. But then you find there's the second surrender, and many times that's going to be maybe in the form of relationships, or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's I realize that my business, my career, I'm not, you know, whatever is not happening, that I've got to have that second surrender. And that's literally what had happened to me. Here I was, I had surrendered alcohol, I had surrendered my sex addiction, but then I was still trying to hang on to managing my career. And I managed it right into the ground. You know, I had to realize that's not working out either, and I had to surrender that. It's this process of uncover, discover, and then discard. And once I discard, then I'm finally in the place where the universe can take over and start presenting me. It's like I finally get to a place of humility where I can finally accept guidance from somebody and I can finally listen to direction. But I didn't get there easily. It's a struggle for many.
Okay, give me those three words again. You said uncover, discover.
Yeah, and then discard. And this isn't a new concept. You know, this comes way back from Chuck Chamberlain from the book New Pair of Glasses is where that comes from. So it's not I don't want to give the impression that this is something that I came up with. No, this brilliance comes from a wonderful man of recovery. But, yeah, cover this thing that's not working. Then you discover the truth about it. You discover, well, why isn't it working? What is it that's not founded? And then you take that and you say, now I got to discard it. Now I got to put it away. Now I'm not going to manage it anymore. I'm going to allow this process to work for me. And then I'm going to ask for guidance. Instead of me charting the course and setting the plan, I'm going to allow myself to be led. I'm going to learn through practice to listen to that still small voice, that indwelling spirit that comes to us sometimes through a trusted friend, sometimes in meditation, sometimes in prayer, or sometimes just being in nature, that we get those inspirational thoughts and ideas that we were so shut off from when we were practicing our addictive patterns. You know, we're shut off from the sunlight of the spirit when we're doing that. But when we get sober enough and we're finally able to get still and to go through the process, then we're finally able to see that there are angels around us, guides, if you will, who are willing to take us by the hand and show us a better way.
Well, and, you know, you're talking that way, and yet what I know to be true is that at least 25 to 30% of the people in my groups and that come to see me, they're not so sure about spirits and guides and angels and God. And, of course, very clearly in the 12-step program, it talks about, you know, a higher power as one wants to define him or her, it, whatever. So do you believe that discover, uncover, and discard, do you think it applies to people who call themselves agnostics or atheists?
Well, I really believe it does. I mean, the program is clear that it's free for all of us, no matter what. And, you know, the interesting thing about the steps that I've learned in Back to Basics, Carol, is that we're never really asked to believe anything. You know, we don't have to believe anything at all. But here's what we do need to do. We need to practice. We've got these very simple set of practices, and we do that, and then the evidence presents itself if you practice long enough. If you practice this 12 steps, and the evidence presents, and what the evidence is your very own life. Your life is the evidence that these practices work because your life gets better. Now, what happens to many is that after a while of practicing this, your life gets better. Well, then the ego reasserts itself, and we tend to take ownership for the wonderful things that are happening. And then we come up with the brilliant notion that maybe we don't need to practice these disciplines. Maybe I don't need to attend as many meetings. Maybe I don't need to share or connect with my sponsor or the people in recovery that love me. Maybe I don't need to have a prayer time anymore, you know, any of those things. Maybe I can just, you know, maybe, and then you come to the wonderful conclusion, you know, well, gosh, you know, my life is really good. Maybe, you know, maybe I wasn't an addict after all. Maybe that was just some big mistake, you know. And then all of a sudden, somebody asks you the wrong question, and there you are, you know, faced with the demon again.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you say that, because clearly in the is it the Big Book or the Principles that says urges and cravings can disappear when you work this program, you know, for lack of a better word, religiously or diligently, and yet you're saying it can come back if you stop working it. When you start thinking,
you know,
it's you and not the beauty of the program and the mystery of life that's helping create that.
That's right. That's right. If you believe in the disease model of addiction, then it's just like any other disease. You know, if you take diabetes as an example, you know, so here you have this disease, but with the proper, you know, well-assessed treatment plan, if you follow the treatment plan, my goodness, the symptoms are going to go down and you're going to live a wonderful, fulfilling life with this disease. You know, chances are you're going to die of something else long before you die of diabetes. But if you stop applying the plan, if you stop applying the solution, then little by slowly, the symptoms come back. And if the symptoms come back and go untreated long enough, then you're back in full-blown diabetes again, and then you can die. So it matches, this addiction matches that model to me perfectly.
Well, you can hear the enthusiasm in your voice because you know that it works. You've seen it happen thousands and thousands of times before. And we're talking program stuff now, but clearly this back to basics that you shared with me earlier in the year that you were so excited about, because it does expedite what may need to happen for some to get through all 12 steps to really get an understanding of what the program's all about. This in and of itself is something that works for people that can be impatient, that can be perfectionistic, and can really need some rapid understanding of what they're going to need to do lifelong. Now, how many times have you been through the Back to Basics program?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I must have taken, I've taken thousands and thousands of people through the process because, you know, Carol, now Back to Basics is part of the treatment plan at Pine Grove. So every patient that goes through Pine Grove goes through Back to Basics. And then as they go back to their hometown, I get invitations to come to their city and bring it to that city. So I'm routinely been traveling and doing these presentations. And I'm just blessed that Pine Grove allows me to the freedom to be able to go out and do these as much as I can as my schedule permits. But I literally have gotten, you know, you talked about the principles. You know, I got to do one, it broke it into two different sessions, but did it with Dr. Pat Carnes in Phoenix at the principles retreat. And so I've gotten to do these all over, and maybe, you know, I may be approaching 10,000 people that I've gotten to take through the steps this way. I did one today. I tell you, today I did a Back to Basics for the leadership at Pine Grove. So all of the leaders in all the programs came together. I took all of those through the steps because now they want to make it a part of orientation for all new employees. You know, if you're going to be working in a 12-step facility, you ought to have an overview and have a chance to take the steps yourself. So I did that just today. So, I do them all the time.
Yeah, that would be really exciting too because obviously when you're training the trainers, they're going to have so much more of an appreciation of what it can do because they get to watch how it works in their own life. Now, does Pine Grove ever employ people without addictions?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there are some gifted clinicians out there that don't have an addiction that are trained in the field and have gone through all the credentials and they've got, you know, strings of initials after their name, and yet they're not, you know, they don't have the disease themselves, and we've got a mixture of both. I would say, though, it just seems to me, I don't have any numbers in front of me, that it seems like far and away that those of us that have gotten into the field, we either have done it because of our own journey through addiction, and then we've kind of turned that around where we want to have a life as a giver of this message, the healing to others, or in many cases I see where somebody doesn't have the disease, but they had somebody in their family, somebody that they deeply loved. Maybe it was a dad or a mom that suffered from it, and somewhere down their journey they decided to turn their hearts toward this career path in order to heal others from the same thing that maybe was so disruptive to their own family system. I see that as well.
Well, and what I really love about this work and about someone who may have experienced that family of origin issue and not the addiction itself, obviously they're getting to heal themselves in the process because life is all about healing. You don't just heal and be perfect. You're going to work on transformations in your life for the rest of your life. I just wondered about Pine Grove because some treatment centers absolutely require that. And I remember asking Patrick Carnes, did he think that recovering addicts made better clinicians than those that weren't? And I was asking because I am not a recovering addict. And he said, no, I don't. He says, I think it's all beneficial, and I think that the program uses you in the ways that you need to be used, regardless of your past. Most of us have been through something. We've had an alcoholic parent or a drug-addicted parent or sibling or grandparent. So it really is kind of a non-issue, whether we're an addict or we've lived with somebody that's had an addiction. But I love the fact that this is an opportunity to expedite the program, to get it done quickly, and to learn about it from start to finish in just 4 hours. So I want to talk again and say that if you want more information, you can contact Carver Brown at his email, which is crbrown@forest2rsgeneral.com, or you can go to Wally's website, which is www.aabacktobasics.org, or you can go to Amazon and get the book, which is Back to Basics by Wally P. And those are all great resources. The man that we're speaking to tonight, as well as the book, to get the program, to get the PowerPoints, to take this to the next level in your city, your country, your province, whatever. Again, you said that initially this was a one-on-one thing. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true, initially so. And then Wally just kind of saw how this could be done in workshop format and created the PowerPoint presentation and all. You know, and I've done it so many times, though, I've pretty much left the PowerPoint. You know, I've kind of got it. I kind of know it by heart. And so now I just can pick up a big book and take somebody through the key passages that would be those key passages that discuss the steps and take somebody through. And further, I wanted to say to your listeners that anybody, please contact me, anybody that has an indication that they'd like to take this on. I'd be thrilled to visit with any of you and give you some encouragement and some guidance and some suggestions from my end. Anybody that's just thinking this might be something for them, I'd be thrilled to be a part of that forum and to counsel them and kind of guide them through the process and share some of the things that has worked for me, because I just so believe in this. I've seen lives changed, and I believe in the program so much.
Well, Carver, again, you know, we've talked when you were doing the 12-step principles with Dr. Carnes, and that has been an amazing program, has it not?
It really has. We're still going. We've gotten two under our belts. The next one is coming up in about a month. We're still in Phoenix, and the next one is the third step, and the principle is spirituality. So I am really looking forward to this. The question that the principle poses is, get this, am I loving to God and to others?
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Boy, that's a principle to live by and to get to know better, isn't it?
It sure is, and I can't wait. You know, every time we do one, Pat comes up with just this brilliant new material, and so I just can't wait to see what he's cooked up for this next one.
Well, thank you so much, Carver Brown. You have been wonderful, as always, and I wish you continued success, and we will keep in touch.
Thank you so much, Carol. You are a delight, and it is an honor to be able to share with you and your listeners. Thank you so much.
All right. You have a great week, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Well, that was Carver Brown, and again, he works specifically with Pine Grove, but as you can see, he is available for you at any time. So, again, if you need to contact him, his email is crbrown@forestgeneral.com, and that forest is spelled with two R's. Hey, it's been a great show. Isn't that invigorating to think that you can figure it out in 4 hours or less and then go through it over and over again until you have the transformations you're so badly wanting? We will see you next week, same time and same place. And as I say at the end of every show, there will only be one of you at all times, so I fearlessly want you to have the courage to be yourself. And stick with this. Again, go to www.aabacktobasics.org to get information about this program, or go to Amazon and buy the book, Back to Basics by Wally P. Have a great week, and I will see you next week. Same time, same place. A lot of gratitude for being able to do this work with you. We'll have Bill Burkaw on next week talking about relationships and his new book that he wrote with his wife. Talk to you soon.